Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. Deacon John Devlin joins us to talk about some work he is doing with Catholic Relief Services, great opportunities that he has to share information about the work that they are doing around the world, and kind of a good preparation for Lent as we get closer to that season coming up in the next couple of weeks. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Renee Leach with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, 'Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.' You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. Though you may have to reprove your fellow citizen, do not incur sin because of him. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. For it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. So let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you. Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, His Excellency Bishop Paul Tai, Adjunct Secretary to the Pontifical Council for Culture, conferred the ministry of lector to 50 seminarians studying for ordination to the priesthood in the Chapel of the Immaculate Conception at the Pontifical North American College in Vatican City. The liturgy and installation included 2 seminarians from the Diocese of Sioux Falls, Anthony James Klein and Scott Jeffrey Miller. The seminarians currently in their first year of formation for the priesthood would have 3 additional years of theological studies and spiritual formation before being ordained to the priesthood in their home diocese. The Pontifical North American College serves as the American seminary in Rome. Founded in 1859 by Blessed Pius IX, the college has formed over 5,000 priests near the heart of the church for service in dioceses around the United States, Canada, and Australia. You can read and see more about the 2 seminarians in the February edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the brides gathered at the back of Immaculate Conception Church in Chicago, Illinois, complimenting one another, adjusting their veils, and keeping their eyes on the small children who darted around their skirts before lining up for the entrance procession. The grooms, fidgeting in a room next to the sacristy, cracked nervous jokes and waited for the signal to take their places in front of the congregation. All told, 9 couples, all of whom have been civilly married for years, participated in a recent community wedding at which their marriages were convalidated by the church. Civil ceremonies confer the legal benefits of marriage, but by receiving the sacrament of matrimony that day at Immaculate Conception, the couples were brought into full communion with the church, allowing them to receive their Eucharist. "I haven't had communion since I was 15, said Melissa Ortiz, who is 29. She had been together with her husband Antonio since they were in high school. The couple, who now has 5 children, was married civilly for 11 years. My daughter did her first communion, and I was so embarrassed I couldn't go up with her," she said. The Catholic Academy of Communication Professionals has agreed to merge into the Catholic Press Association sometime later this year. As part of the merger agreement, the CPA will consider a name or brand identification change, according to a January 30th letter that sent to the CPA and Catholic Academy members, signed by their respective presidents. While the name Catholic Press Association is more than 100 years old, the convergence of print, video, and electronic media channels limits the CPA identity to print only, added the letter, signed by CPA President Matt Schiller and Catholic Academy President David Haynes. News of the merger also appeared in the February edition of The Catholic Journalist, the CPA's monthly newspaper. The Catholic Academy had originally been known as the Catholic Broadcasters Association at its founding more than 60 years ago. It adopted the name UNDA USA, UNDA being the Latin word for wave, as in radio and television waves, in 1972 as an affiliate of the Vatican-sanctioned UNDA World. The UNDA moniker remained until 2002, when it formally changed its name to the Catholic Academy, also encompassing film, as it had its international parent, that is, known as Cygnus. Religious leaders are the trusted soldiers people turn to when dealing with mental health issues, and their ability to identify God's presence in people's lives gives hope and strength to hurting members of the community, according to speakers at a mental health summit for faith leaders in New York this week. Mental health challenges are part of the human experience, and 1 in every 5 New Yorkers deals with a mental issue each year, said Charlene McRae, New York's First Lady. Her experience as the daughter of 2 depressed parents and the mother of a depressed, anxious, drug-addicted daughter inspired her to help launch Thrive NYC, a comprehensive municipal initiative to improve mental health awareness and services, she said. McRae is the wife of New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. In her keynote address to representatives of faith communities and social service organizations, she said, "When people are dealing with sensitive issues, they seek out those they trust. There's a good chance they'll turn to one of you, because clergy are part of people's life from early on and reflect their experiences and priorities." Dr. Derek H. Sweet, founder of Full Circle Health, a counseling center, said mental health providers and clergy can integrate therapeutic treatment and prayer to provide different paths to healing. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young, reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by Deacon John Devlin, who has added a new title. We were just kind of having a little joke about how you're going to add this to your name. But John, working with Catholic Relief Services, you have learned about them, and as a result, you are considered a global fellow.
Yes, I went to a week-long training last October, right at the end of the month, in order to be trained in everything that Catholic Relief Services does in the world, what they stand for, how they represent the Catholic Church in the United States to the world, and the tremendous job they do in providing all sorts of services to people in need.
If my memory is correct, Catholic Relief Services kind of got its start, I think, probably through war efforts at some point, trying to provide relief around the world.
Right. The bishops in 1943 could see that after World War II, at that time, the European nations were going to need a lot of help in rebuilding and restructuring, not only in money and those efforts, but also in trying to rebuild the faith. And so the bishops of the United States started an organization called War Relief Services, and got started over in after World War II in Western Europe, in all the countries affected by the war. And then it was thought that it would just disappear after all those things were done, but was found that it was just too valuable of an effort to just let go. So then it the name was changed to Catholic Relief Services, and they expanded their range far beyond just Western Europe into the whole world.
Yeah, absolutely. So many things that they are involved with. And it's timely to talk about at this time of year, because as we approach the Lenten season, one of their major fundraisers and awareness raisers, probably as important, is the CRS Rice Bowl. It has a great tradition in our diocese of parishes supporting that. And certainly we hope that would be the case again this year.
Yes, I certainly hope so. The Rice Bowl, I've always... in most of my life as a Catholic, thought of it just as a fundraiser mm-hmm. for them, just as a way to throw some change in it and turn it in at the end of the month. But really, it is an awareness raiser. It can be really the center of a family's Lenten devotion, Lenten sacrifice, because of the way that they design the whole program. You know, it's designed around prayer, around fasting, and around almsgiving, the three pillars of Lent that can really assist a family in becoming more and more aware of their own Lenten journey. The other part of it is like, as you said, awareness. Unfortunately, in surveys that have been done, Catholic Relief Services is only known by 9% of United States Catholics.
Really?
And yes, and so they are... They're constantly trying to raise the awareness of the people in the United States as to what they do and what they're about and what's going on with them, since they are the Catholic program in the world for representing every Catholic in the United States.
And one of the great things that they do that I'm aware of is not they don't work in isolation. They work with Catholic relief agencies all around the world. Sometimes known as Caritas,
right.
In other places in the world. But that collaboration often means all the difference, because you end up with people on the ground who know the real situations.
Yes. Their efforts in the world are exactly what you described. They try to hire people and have their employees around the world be mostly people from the countries that they're serving in,
mm-hmm.
people that understand the religious maybe temperature in the country, the culture, the languages, all the tribal situations, all of the things that they deal with. They try to get the right people hired right from those countries. They have about 5,200 people employed outside of the United States doing all sorts of work in permanent places in 101 countries around the world.
Wow.
So when something does happen... The beautiful thing about Catholic Relief Services is they're already there.
Mm-hmm. They're in position.
They've been there working probably with agricultural development and other types of programs. And then if there is an emergency, some natural disaster or a war problem or a refugee situation, they are on the ground and there to make sure that the people get taken care of rapidly.
There's so much about Catholic Relief Service, it's kind of hard to know where to start. And I'm so surprised to hear you say that only 9% of Catholics in the United States are aware of it. This is the primary effort of our bishops, mm-hmm. And they certainly endorse the work of Catholic Family or Catholic Relief Services.
Oh, yes. The Catholic Relief Services was started by the bishops and is still governed by the United States Conference of Catholic bishops. The board of Catholic Relief Services is always 10 or 11 bishops and 9 or 10 lay persons or other individuals who are on the board. So it is closely watched by the bishops to make sure that they're out there doing the work that they're supposed to be doing and doing it in Catholic ways,
mm-hmm.
not straying at all from Catholic teaching.
And is this, John, in your mind, as you've learned about this, is this really a form of evangelization? I mean, it seems to me that it might be.
Most certainly it is. It's one of those ways that Catholics in the field, doing service, bringing the love of Jesus Christ through that service into all these areas really do spread the joy of the gospel wherever they go. Their first effort, of course, isn't to make Catholics out of everyone, but right. But they are fairly successful at it just because of the beautiful work that they're doing. Refugee workers that presented at our training out in Baltimore told us that a little Syrian girl who was a Muslim came up to her and had never heard the word Catholic before ever in her life. And she just the way that she had experienced it before, she thought Catholic means help. It was that's what she thought the word meant. And so those are the ways that they spread it. I say not so much to go out and make converts, but they do just because of their efforts.
That's the witness, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's witnessing to the gospel constantly.
It's living out the Beatitudes.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, it seems to me that that's exactly what they're doing.
The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 25, all those feed the poor, give drink to the thirsty, all those ways that they're out there. I'm doing what Jesus told us to do.
Were there, as you went through this process of becoming a global fellow and hearing about the work, were there particular stories or things that you heard that maybe surprised you or that really impressed you in terms of some of the particular works that they're doing?
Yeah, they really work heavily in development in countries, which is why they try to keep permanent presence in so many places, because there's just doing relief work is important, of course, but there usually is a long process that has to go on in order to bring the people back to a place where they can be self-sustaining. And so they do a lot of work in development, mostly with agriculture in all sorts of countries. They told stories of in Burkina Faso, which is a African country, where they worked a lot. I know that a lot of times we don't like to believe that global warming has any effect, but it has had some effect in some of these countries, in that the soil temperature is raised enough where what they used to grow doesn't grow anymore, or doesn't grow well anymore. So they've assisted them in finding new ways to plant something different, some other type. They told a story about a man who planted onions all of his life and sold them at the market. Well, he couldn't grow onions anymore, or good onions, and so they got him into tomatoes. And 'cause the soil testing showed that this would be a great thing for him to be growing. And they said he was growing tomatoes the size of softballs in about 2 years and selling them like crazy in the market. So those are the sorts of things they're constantly doing around the world.
It sounds almost like you consider it almost like a wellness program, so that when disaster strikes, they're better prepared to deal with it.
Right. Yeah, they're better prepared, and they're right now the the one thing they brought up was Ethiopia, which is always a difficult area because of the droughts that come and go. And they mentioned that Ethiopia has been going through about a 5-year drought. We said, you're not hearing about people starving in Ethiopia, are you? And then we said, no, gosh, there hadn't been any stories about that. So they said, that's because we've developed all sorts of resources for the people to manage drought situations and to get through them in ways that don't cause disasters in their families and in their tribes.
Wow. Yeah. So it's a case of no news is good news.
Yes.
In a situation like that. That's tremendous kind of activity that's going on. Let's bring it back to thinking about Lent, John, both in Rice Bowl and in terms of, you mentioned this, how families, how individuals live out Lent. One of the things that I always think is important is that we don't think about Lent in a negative sense, that we think about Lent in a joyful sense, mm-hmm. because I think that's what we're really called to do, is to live it with some joy.
Yeah, well, that's what, if you know that gospel reading every Ash Wednesday is from Matthew chapter 6, which is about the when you give alms, make sure that your left hand doesn't know what your right is doing. When you pray, go to your room and don't make a big spectacle of yourself. And when you fast, be joyful. You know, don't look like you're fasting. Don't look gloomy and downtrodden, but go forth in a joyful and happy way, and show that the gospel is effective in your life. That's what I think the CRS Rice Bowl program tries to promote in families, especially bringing, they hope that people really use this to bring prayer into their family. Maybe prayer that they normally wouldn't do, or praying for the people around the world and for the people in the United States and the efforts of all the missionaries that are out there working on their behalf. And then they really promote the simple meal, which is on those Fridays when maybe we always think of, well, Friday you eat fish instead of meat, and but you stuff yourself with fish.
Yeah.
It
defeats the purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they promote this simple meal where they have all sorts of recipes in their rice bowl section of their website to encourage people to unite themselves with the poor around the world in eating what they would eat. Mm-hmm. These simple rice meals and other things that don't always appeal to us very much, but might really bring some education and some awareness into our hearts and minds about what other people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
So what might that look like for a family who kind of decides, by golly, we're going to make Rice Bowl mm-hmm. a centerpiece this year? How would they go about that? What are some mm-hmm. tools that they would find to help them?
Well, first of all, every Rice Bowl comes with a Lenten calendar that has all sorts of suggestions for prayer around the Rice Bowl. They have a, on their website, they direct people to go to their website to find even more resources for prayer and fasting and other ways to give alms besides the rice bowl. And then they have their all those recipes that I talked about. Of course, they also have an app. Everybody has an app.
They gotta have an app, right?
And so CRS Rice Bowl has an app for your phone so that during the Lenten season you get daily alerts that might assist you in living Lent in a better way this year.
Wow. Well, it doesn't sound like there's many excuses for not doing it.
No, there really aren't.
You're not helping here, Jen. No, you are helping. Absolutely so. I want to talk a little bit more about your work then as a global mm-hmm. fellow. What mm-hmm. does that mean in practical terms for you now that you've mm-hmm. got this training?
Yeah. Basically, what they hope that all their global fellows will be able to do is to go around and preach in parishes that maybe that the pastor will welcome them to preach about what's going on mm-hmm. With Catholic Relief Services, and just continue to heighten that awareness among the Catholics in the United States. And of course, right now, the Catholics in South Dakota, I think I'm the only global fellow in South Dakota, but
all the more reason to get that title fixed on your name.
Right, right. That, yeah. Right. And to really awareness, it's not really, of course, it's just like all those, the missionary priests or others that come into a parish, there's certainly a fundraising portion to it, but that's not the main thrust of it for Catholic Releasers. They want people to know, to go to their website, to find out what they're doing, to realize what a beautiful, beneficial agency this is in representing them as a Catholic to the poor of the world.
So if people are listening this morning and want to contact you, is it primarily for preaching? Is it also for speaking to groups or whatever?
Yes, yeah, and that's I was going to mention that too. Yes, to speaking to groups, doing teaching on or programs on Catholic social teaching, mm-hmm. the way that that's lived out by Catholic Relief Services in the world. Any type of session or program or educational thing that might work even outside the weekends, I'm open to doing all of those things.
And is it contained within our diocese, or you're open to going at least reasonably within the region?
Right, in the region, yeah, right in this area here. And there's a Catholic Relief Services person in Chicago that I work with to get those speaking engagements arranged.
Okay. So that was my next question. How do they go about doing it?
Yeah. Well, basically they can contact me and I can contact the person in Chicago to get it set up and get it all approved through Catholic Relief Services.
And best to do that through St. Michael's or what? How do you want
right
people
to? Right at St. Michael Parish. My just call St. Michael Parish. If you can write down the number at 605-361-1600 and ask for Deacon John, or send me an email, which is available off of our website at stmichaelsfsd.org. Any of those ways to get a hold of me will work.
Awesome. And we hope that people will take advantage of that, not just during Lent, but this is an ongoing thing.
Oh, yes. This is every day of the year. They're out. Catholic Relief Services is out there, especially right now dealing with lots of refugee situations with the Syrian situation and other places in Africa and Eastern Europe that are having troubles.
I'm fascinated to hear you talk about Ethiopia because you're right. We hear about some of these things. We hear about mm-hmm. the refugees. We know that there's desperation in those camps in Jordan and Lebanon and, mm-hmm. and places like that, and that CRS is there trying to do some good. But it's the things we don't know about mm-hmm. That are probably the most success stories, if you will.
There was a great story they told about how they were, Catholic Relief Services was very instrumental in containing the Ebola problem in Liberia and in other Western African countries. They were asked to come and do something, and they weren't sure exactly how they were going to go about this. But what they did was, with the help of the governments in those areas, they installed hand washing stations all over the country, on every public building, on every place, so that people would constantly wash their hands. And then Catholic Relief Services was heavily involved in burying the persons who had died from it, so that that's very important that the burial happens rapidly so that the disease doesn't have a chance to spread from there, or to have relatives bury them and then contract the disease by not handling things properly. So they really did a wonderful job of bringing that under control.
Well, great to hear about these things. Great to hear about your work as a global fellow. Again, if people want to contact you, Deacon John, do so at Sioux Falls, St. Michael's in Sioux Falls.
Yes.
And you can find all that information on the diocesan website or the St. Michael's website, which is what?
stmichaelsfsd.org.
All right. If you can't remember that, just go to sfcatholic.org and you'll find the parish listed there, and it'll provide the link to it. Deacon John Devlin, thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, Gene, in the little time left, we might take the opportunity to remind people that Lent is less than 2 weeks away.
Hard to believe because February is such a short month, only 28 days. It's only 10 days till Ash Wednesday.
You know, it's one of those great times when you can really do what you need to do to help yourself.
Exactly, and there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. There's plenty of resources out there that you can find your way what you'll need to know for Lent.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.